Good morning. I'd like to talk about restitution this morning. What is restitution? It's making things right. Acts 24:16 says, I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. This morning I'd like to tell you a story about a man named Keith. Keith always wanted to have a mustache. He heard somewhere in grade school that if you shaved your face, your beard would grow back out dark and stubby and thick. I think the argument was that a boy ought not to shave, but wait as long as possible. Keith took it quite the opposite. He gathered his dad's shaving mug, his chrome Gillette razor. He locked himself in the bathroom, and he shaved off his imaginary beard. Guess what? It didn't work. The fuzz merely grew as fuzz. Several years later, when Keith was in the seventh grade, his church youth group had a Halloween party. He had no outfit for the party. He and his friend John started shopping at a local J.J. Newberry store on the way home. Among the many Halloween masks and outfits was this first-rate stick-on mustache, packaged in a nifty little plastic case. Keith could imagine himself with this mustache Friday night, causing all the seventh grade girls to just swoon. Keith tried it on. Somehow it made him feel taller and more manly and more mature. The problem was he didn't have any money. Keith didn't think he had ever stolen anything before. He slipped that little mustache right into the pocket of his school jacket and sneaked out onto the street. He wore it to the party. Guess what? The girls didn't swoon. Keith had a hard time forgetting about that mustache. He knew it was wrong and that he should go back to the store, confess that he had stolen the mustache, and pay for it. But Keith was afraid. He found both the embarrassment and he feared both the embarrassment and the penalty. The lady who worked at J.J. Newberry's store attended the church where Keith's dad was the pastor. He figured she'd tell him, and his dad would punish him like the thief he was. He conjured up all kinds of wise case scenarios. Keith kept remembering the large flyer that was posted near the store entrance. It was a drawing of a teenager peering through the bars in a jail. Above the sad face were the words, "Shoplifters go to jail." Keith could visualize a whole newspaper spread on how nice teens, even a preacher's son, could go bad. He would be the illustration. Parents would whisper after church, "Don't it make your heart ache? You know how the jury boy turned out." They would admonish each other, "Keep a tight rein on your own kids, or they will turn out like the preacher's kid." So Keith never ever went back. Each time he would recall his offense, he tried to ignore it, excuse it, and dismiss it. At first, Keith told himself he couldn't afford to make it right. He simply did not have the money. Besides that, the mustache had already lost its stickiness, so returning it would be not of any good. Keith also didn't want to get his John in trouble either. He figured they would send him up also as an accessory or something. Mostly, he just wanted to put it off. He intended to make it right, eventually. With time, Keith's conscience gradually disappeared, and he almost forgot all about it. Occasionally, guilt would surface, but he would dismiss it with comments like, "Oh, it was just such a little thing," or, "Oh my, that was an awful long time ago." Keith graduated from high school and moved away to college, forgetting all about the little mustache for the most part. Except that every time he'd hear about restitution, he'd remember the little mustache. When he'd read about restitution in an article or hear someone share a testimony about restitution that they had made, that mustache would come slithering back in his mind to haunt him. The mustache was always there, reminding him of an unmade restitution. At a retreat, 2 decades later, God convinced Keith of the necessity of this restitution. It was clear he'd better fix it soon. He knew that if he delayed it much longer, it would be more than just a foot dragging. It would be outright disobedience and rebellion. Within a month, Keith was in the area with his family. He loaded his 5-year-old son into the car and they went to make restitution for what he had stolen 20 years ago. He explained to his son what he had done and what he was about to do. Frankly, all the way to the store, he was secretly hoping it had gone out of business. It hadn't. Dave was intrigued by the whole idea. He seemed to get a kick out of seeing his dad be humbled. After Keith paid for the mustache, they returned to the car and headed out of town. David hadn't said anything throughout the whole process. As they drove up to the entry ramp to the interstate, David turned to his dad and said, "You know, Dad, it would be better if you'd never take things. Then you wouldn't have to go back and pay for it." Restitution is going back and making things right for things you took or the people you hurt. It is restoring to the original owner what is rightfully theirs, property or respect or reputation. Restitution is returning a toolbox taken from a company years ago. It is paying for a stack of office supplies that you slipped out of the office without anyone knowing about it. It is paying taxes on unreported income you hid from the tax man. Restitution is a large company's granting refunds because they illegally overcharge their customers. It is an airline giving rebates to travelers because they had been guilty of unfair competition. It is paying back in full for it improperly gain money or property. But restitution deals with more than property. It is also going back and making things right for the hurtful things that have been said or done. It was far easier to return a mustache than to tell about a mustache story than it is tell of difficult and painful times that Keith had to ask his wife, his boys, his boss, his friends, and his secretary to forgive him. Restitution is asking forgiveness for harsh words, quick tongue, or cutting remarks. It is also forgiveness from a brother you hurt or a mother who you caused his heart to ache or a former spouse you maligned. Restitution is confessing and seeking forgiveness from an old business partner, from a neighbor or a roommate. It is admitting errors in relationships and humbly seeking forgiveness from someone you have hurt. It is so much harsher to make personal restitution than property restitution. Restitution is a discipline of humility. Pride and restitution are incompatible. Restitution is not popular, and it surely is not easy. It is one of the most painful disciplines of the obedient life. But it is biblical. It is the Christian way. Anyone who is seriously seeking to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ will walk the painful restitution path at times. Since followers of the Master will hunger for an easily convicted heart, they will thirst for a soft, easily pricked conscience, and they will return to the offended party to make things right. It is the Christian way. What would possess a Christian to take such a humiliating steps? Why have believers through history practiced this discipline? Are there any good reasons to put yourself through such a torturous experience? Yes. Number one, it's a matter of obedience. More than 15 times the Old Testament teaches restitution for followers of God. Jesus confirmed the idea in the New Testament, even recognizing restitution as one of the evidences that salvation has come to this house. Luke 19:9. Not that making restitution can save a man or a woman. Nothing we can do can bring salvation except trusting in Jesus Christ. But the Bible expects restitution to be the kind of thing you would do if you follow God. It's restitution. It's consistent with all other teachings in Scripture. The reason we don't like it is not because it's unbiblical. It's because restitution is in total opposition to our pride. We hate to be humbled. We hate to be embarrassed and humiliated. It goes against our nature. So we would rather save some pride than to make restitution. But the words stand unrevised by our tardiness in obedience. The single best reason to make restitution is because God said to do it. It is a matter of obedience. John 14:15. And number two, restitution reinforces personal happiness. Obedience brings happiness, not just silly, frivolous kind or guiltiness, but a deep-seated joy of knowing we are living up to what we've been commanded to do. When we leave a restitution unmade, we are a load of guilt to the burdens of our daily walk. We feel guilty. Once we have made wrong right, the load of guilt is lifted. We try to shoo or our unmade restitutions into the darkness of our minds, but they will fly up periodically like nightmare bats from a cave. Once restitution is made, we experience a new happiness and freedom in our lives. Then we wonder why we took so long to do it. You will be happier and holier person when you have made restitution. Number three. Restitution releases you to greater service. Unmade restitutions are like a great monkey on your back. Satan saddles up to your ear every time you try to do something for God. He whispers, "Where do you think you are going?" When restitutions are made, there is a new boldness to serve Christ in other areas also. Number 4. Restitution removes another stumbling block. Has it occurred to you that another person may hold a grudge against you for what you have said or did, even a long time ago? Have you ever thought the offended person may be sour, bitter, or full of resentment over a little thing you did? To be sure, they are sinning. But aren't you an access to their sin? Are you providing the opportunity for them to continue in sin? What would happen if you approached them to ask humbly for their forgiveness? What if they granted forgiveness to you? Could they hold a grudge against you any longer? Your slowness in making restitution may be placing a great stumbling block in another person's path toward God. Number 5. Restitution releases you to teach others. If you needed to advise another believer on the advantage of restitution, what would you tell? Keith's dad told him of an unforgettable story of how among his tools he found a hatchet owned by the church's district where he had served years and years before. He told Keith how he rationalized at first, but eventually sent it back to the new district superintendent. He could have taught 200 verses on restitution to Keith. It would not have made as big an effect on him as his own personal story of an unburied hatchet. What story will you tell your children or your grandchildren? Do you have one? Have you never done anything deserving of restitution? Not even once? After you've made restitution for past wrongs, God often uses these experiences to help you to teach others. Perhaps He is having difficulty restoring that discipline to the church because He has so few examples to show us. My restitution, well, one of my restitutions. When I was a boy, I used to sell Grit newspaper, America's greatest newspaper, years ago. Well, I got sick, and so I didn't have to send it in that week. Well, a couple of months later, there was something down at the store that I really wanted pretty bad, but I didn't have enough money. And I didn't want to wait long enough to accumulate the money to get it. So guess what happened? I got sick for 3 weeks. Not really, but that's what I claimed. And so I kept all the money. And then years later, when I was saved, well, I couldn't go back and make personal restitution because the headquarters was like 2,000 miles away. So what I did, I calculated about how much it was would have been, and added a little more, and then added a little more for interest, I guess you'd say. And so then I sent it in. Like I say, this was years later. Number 6, restitution humbles you. Perhaps this humbling is more than any other discipline of the Christian walk. And any time you are humbled, reminded of who and what we are, that is good. Number 7. Restitution vaccinates the offended against a future wrong. Nothing can guarantee you won't slip and fall again, but restitution comes close. The next time you are tempted, you will be remembered the past pain and humiliation of returning to make restitutions. When you are about to let loose with a biting, sarcastic, hurtful remark, you may think of the embarrassment in store for you when you later must ask that person to forgive you. These thoughts tend to be like preventive medicine. A little pain now, or doing without for a little bit longer, or biting your tongue is preferred to the greater pain of making restitution. Can you think of any unmade restitutions? Are there some things you have taken? Are there people you have hurt by saying something against you? Do you have a totally clear conscience? Is God convicting you of a restitution you need to make? Thank you.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.